Thank you, Judy, and good afternoon. My apologies for the delay, but I thought it appropriate to wait until the Prime Minister and the Treasurer had finished speaking. As you would know, the Reserve Bank Board met yesterday and it decided on a comprehensive package to help support jobs, incomes and businesses as the Australian economy adjusts to the coronavirus. I'd like to take this opportunity to explain this package and to answer some questions. We are clearly living in extraordinary and challenging times. The coronavirus is first and foremost a very major public health issue, but it's also become a major economic problem, and it's having deep ramifications for financial systems right around the world. The closure of borders and social distancing measures are affecting us all, and they're changing the way that we're living. Understandably, our communities and our financial markets are both having trouble dealing with a risk they haven't seen before and a rapidly unfolding situation. As our country manages this difficult situation, though, it's important that we do not lose sight of the fact that we will come through this. At some point, the virus will be contained, and our economy and our financial markets will recover, and things will return to normal. Undeniably, what we are facing today is a very serious situation, but it's also something that's temporary. As we deal with it as best we can, we also need to look to the other side when things do recover. When we do get to that other side, all those fundamentals that have made Australia such a successful and prosperous and fantastic country will still be there. I think we need to remember that. To help us get to the other side, though, we need a bridge. Without that bridge, there will be damage, some of which will be permanent to the economy and to people's lives. And building that bridge requires a concerted team effort, with us all pulling together in the country's interests. On the economic front, as you heard the Prime Minister say just a few minutes ago, there is very close policy coordination between the Australian Government, the Australian Treasury, the Reserve Bank of Australia, and Australia's financial institutions. We're in very close contact with one another and working very constructively together, and we'll continue to do so. And that coordination was evident in the various policy statements that you saw this afternoon. Governments across Australia are playing their important role in building that bridge to the recovery, with the various fiscal initiatives from the Australian and state governments providing very welcome support. Rightly, the focus is on supporting businesses and households who will suffer major hits to their incomes. It's increasingly clear that further help will be required on this front, and the Australian Government has indicated that additional policy measures will be announced shortly. Australian public finances are in very good shape, and the country's history of prudent fiscal management gives us the capacity to respond right now. The banks too have an important role to play in building the bridge to the recovery by supporting their customers. Without this support, it will be harder for us all to get to the other side in reasonable shape. Australia has a strong financial system which is well placed to provide the needed support to businesses and households. The system has strong capital and liquidity positions, and our financial systems have invested heavily in their resilience. As APRA confirmed this afternoon in a public statement, the current large buffers of capital and liquidity in the system are able to be used to support ongoing lending in the economy. The financial regulators have also confirmed that they're examining how the timing of various regulatory initiatives can be adjusted to allow financial institutions to concentrate on their businesses and to work with their customers. APRA and ASIC also both stand ready to assist institutions work through regulatory issues arising from the virus. The Council of Financial Regulators is meeting again tomorrow, and it will also meet with the largest lenders in the country to discuss how they can support their customers and whether there are further regulatory initiatives that could be taken. The Reserve Bank itself is also playing a role in building that bridge to the recovery, and I'd now like to turn to the role we're playing. Our major focus is to support jobs, incomes and businesses, so that when the health crisis does recede, the country is well placed to recover. supporting small businesses over coming months is a particular priority for us. Prior to today's announcement, we had taken several steps over recent days to support the Australian economy. Over the past week or so, we've been injecting substantial extra liquidity into the financial system through our daily open market operations. As part of this effort, we'll be conducting 1 month and 3 month repo operations each day. We'll also conduct repo operations at the 6 month maturity or longer, at least weekly, as long as market conditions warrant. And as a result of these liquidity operations, the exchange settlement balances at the Reserve Bank have increased from around $2.5 billion a month ago to around $20 billion today. The Reserve Bank also stands ready to purchase Australian government bonds in the secondary market to support the smooth functioning of that market. The government bond market is a key market for the Australian financial system because government bonds provide the pricing benchmark for many financial assets. Our approach here is similar in concept to our long-standing approach to the foreign exchange market, where we have been prepared to support smooth market functioning when liquidity conditions are highly stressed. And we now stand ready to do the same in the Australian bond market, and we're working in close cooperation on this with the AOFM. In addition to these previously announced measures, today's package has four elements. These are a reduction in the cash rate to 0.25%, a target of 0.25% for the yield on three-year government bonds, a term funding facility to support credit to businesses, especially small and medium-sized businesses, and an adjustment to the interest rate on accounts that financial institutions hold at the RBA. I'd like to discuss each of the elements of the package. The first element of the package, as I said, is a reduction in the cash rate to 25 basis points. This brings the cumulative decline over the past year to 1.25 percentage points. This is a very substantial easing of monetary policy, which is boosting the cash flow of businesses and the household sector as a whole. It's also helping our trade-exposed industries through the exchange rate channel. At the same time, though, low interest rates do have negative consequences for some people, especially those relying on interest income. The Reserve Bank Board has discussed these consequences extensively over the past year, but the evidence is that the lower interest rates do benefit the community as a whole, although I acknowledge the effects are felt unevenly. With this decision today, the policy rates of the Reserve Bank of Australia, the United States Federal Reserve, the Bank of England, and the Reserve Bank of New Zealand are all effectively at 0.25%. Each of us are using all the scope that we have with interest rates to support our economies through a very challenging period. At its meeting yesterday, the board also agreed that we would not increase the cash rate from its current level until progress was made towards full employment and that we were confident that inflation will be sustainably between 2 and 3%. This means that we are likely to be at the current level of interest rates for an extended period of time. Before the virus hit, we were expecting to make progress towards full employment and the inflation target, although that progress was expected to be only quite gradual. Recent events have obviously changed the situation, and we are now likely to remain short of our objectives for somewhat longer. I'm not able to provide you with an updated set of economic forecasts. The situation is just too fluid. But we are expecting a major hit to economic activity and incomes in Australia that will last for a number of months. We're also expecting significant job losses. The scale of those losses will depend upon the ability of businesses to keep workers on during this challenging period. We saw during the global financial crisis how flexibility in working arrangements limited job losses, and this benefited the entire community. And I hope the same is going to be true in the months ahead. It's also important to repeat that we are expecting a recovery once the virus is contained. The timing and strength of that recovery will depend upon how successful we are as a nation in building that bridge to the other side. When the recovery does come, it will be supported by a low level of interest rates. We will maintain the current setting of interest rates until a strong recovery is in place and the achievement of our objectives is clearly in sight. The second element of the package is a target for the yield on three-year government bonds. Over recent decades, the Reserve Bank's practice has been to target the cash rate, which forms the anchor point for the risk-free yield structure. We're now extending and complementing this by also targeting a risk-free interest rate further out along the yield curve. In particular, we're targeting the yield on three-year Australian government securities, and we've set this target at around 0.25%. It's the same as the cash rate. Over recent weeks, the yield on three-year AGS has averaged around 0.45%. So this target represents a material reduction in bond yields. We've chosen the three-year horizon as it influences funding rates across much of the Australian economy, and it's an important rate in financial markets. It's also consistent with the board's expectation that the cash rate will remain at its current level for some years, but not forever. To achieve this yield target, we'll be conducting regular auctions in the bond market. And we published some technical details early today. We'll keep the market fully informed of our intentions. Our first auction will take place tomorrow. As part of this program, our intention is to purchase bonds of different maturities, given the higher level of substitutability between bonds across the maturity structure. We're also prepared to buy semi-government securities to achieve our target and to help facilitate the smooth functioning of the Australian bond market. I want to make it clear that our purchases will be in the secondary market, and we will not be purchasing bonds directly from the government. I'd also like to emphasise that we are not seeking to have the three-year yield identically at 25 basis points each and every day. There's some natural variation in the market, and it doesn't make sense to counter that. It also may take some time before yields fall from their current level to 25 basis points. I understand why many people will view this as quantitative easing or QE. This is because there is a quantitative aspect to what we're doing. Achieving this target will involve the Reserve Bank buying bonds and an expansion of the Reserve Bank balance sheet. But our emphasis is not on the quantities. We're not setting objectives for the quantity and timing of bonds that we'll buy, as some other central banks have done. How much we need to purchase and when we need to enter the market will depend upon market conditions and prices. Rather than quantities or the size of our balance sheet, our focus is very much on the price of money and credit. Our objective here is to provide support for low funding costs right across the Australian economy. By lowering this important benchmark interest rate, we will add to the downward pressure on borrowing costs for financial institutions, for households, for businesses, and the government. We are prepared to transact in whatever quantities are needed to achieve this objective. We expect to remain this target for three-year yields until progress is made towards our goals of full employment and the inflation target. Our expectation, though, is that the yield target will be removed before the cash rate is increased. The third element of the package is a term funding facility for the banking system with support for business credit, especially to small and medium-sized businesses. This scheme has two broad objectives. The first is to lower funding costs for the entire banking system so that the cost of credit to households and businesses is low. In that regard, it will complement the target for three-year government yields that I just spoke about. The second objective is to provide an incentive for lenders to support credit to businesses, especially small and medium-sized businesses. This is a priority issue for us. Many small businesses are going to find coming months very difficult as their sales dry up and they support their staff. Assisting small businesses through this period will help us build that bridge to the other side when the recovery does take place. If Australia has lost lots of otherwise viable businesses through this period, making that recovery will be harder and we'll all pay a price for that. So it's important as a nation we address this. Under this new facility, authorised deposit-taking institutions will have access to at least $90 billion in funding. they will be able to borrow from the RBA an amount equivalent to 3% of their existing outstanding credit to Australian businesses and households. And they'll be able to draw on those funds up until the end of September this year. Lenders will also be able to borrow additional funds from the RBA if they increase credit to business this year. For every extra dollar they lend to large businesses, lenders will have access to an additional dollar of funding from the Reserve Bank. But for every extra dollar of loans to small and medium-sized businesses, the ADIs will have access to an additional $5 from the Reserve Bank. These funds can be drawn upon until the end of March next year. There's no extra borrowing allowance for additional housing loans. The funding from the Reserve Bank will be for 3 years and it will be at a fixed interest rate of 0.25%. That's substantially below lenders' current funding costs. Institutions accessing the scheme will need to provide the usual collateral to the Reserve Bank, with haircuts applying, and the first drawings will be possible no later than 4 weeks from today. The scheme is similar to that introduced by the Bank of England. Unlike the Bank of England scheme, though, the interest rate is fixed for the term of the funding. This is consistent with our view that the cash rate is likely to stay at its current level for some time. Another difference with the Bank of England scheme is that we have not included a higher interest rate if credit contracts over the next year. While a decline in credit would be highly undesirable, we thought that including a penalty rate could act as a disincentive for institutions to take part in the scheme. We're strongly encouraging all ADIs to use the term funding facility to support their customers. In this regard, I welcome APRA's announcement this afternoon that it supports ADIs using this scheme. And I also welcome the Australian Government's announcement that it will support markets or the market for asset-backed securities through the AOFM. This support is important as it will help non-bank financial institutions and small lenders continue to provide credit to Australian households and businesses. The final element of the package is an adjustment to the interest rate on exchange settlement balances. Under our long-standing framework, we operate a corridor system around the cash rate. Under that system, the balances that banks hold at the RBA overnight in exchange settlement accounts earn an interest rate 25 basis points below the cash rate. And on the other side of the corridor, in the event that a bank needed to borrow from the RBA overnight, it would be charged an interest rate 25 basis points above the cash rate. Under this arrangement, and with the cash rate now at 25 basis points, the interest rate on exchange settlement balances would have been at zero. We've decided to increase this interest rate to 10 basis points. We're not making any changes to the top of the corridor. This adjustment to the corridor reflects the fact that there will be a significant increase in the balances in exchange settlement accounts at the Reserve Bank due to the combined effect of our enhanced liquidity operations, our bond purchases, and our term funding program. Maintaining a zero interest rate on these balances would increase the cost of the banking system. We judge that in the current environment that would not be helpful. The increase in settlement balances is also expected to change the way that the cash market in Australia operates. In other countries, where there have been large increases in balances at the central bank, the cash rate equivalent has drifted below the target and transaction volumes in the cash market have declined. I think it's likely that we'll see the same outcome in Australia. So the Reserve Bank will continue to monitor the cash market closely, and it's prepared to adjust these arrangements if the situation requires. So these are the four measures announced earlier this afternoon. Together they represent a very comprehensive package to lower funding costs in Australia and to support the provision of credit. Complementary initiatives by APRA and the AOFM are also working towards these same objectives. The term funding scheme and the 3-year yield target are both very significant developments, and they would not have been considered under normal times. They both carry financial and other risks for the Reserve Bank, and they both represent quite significant interventions by the Reserve Bank into Australia's financial markets. So the Reserve Bank Board did not take these decisions lightly. But in the context of extraordinary times, and consistent with our broad mandate to promote the economic welfare of the people of Australia, we are seeking to play our full role in building that bridge to the time when the recovery does take place. By doing all that we can to lower funding costs in Australia and support the supply of credit to business, we will help our economy and our financial system get through this difficult period. Thank you very much for listening, and I'm here to answer your questions. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. If you'd like to ask a question on the line, please press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your questions. With that, I'd now like to hand over to the moderator to take questions from the phone call. Thank you.
Thank you. Your first question comes from Vesna Poljak from AFR. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Question for the Governor. Are you frustrated by the action at the long end of the curve, and would you say the 10-year yield where it is today poses a problem for your monetary objectives?
No, I don't think it poses a problem at all. I mean, the bond yields have been very volatile over the past couple of weeks. Actually, all financial markets have been very volatile. Liquidity conditions in most markets are very poor. Bid-ask spreads are wide. The intermediaries who are intermediating between the buyers and sellers don't have very much risk capacity, and so they're not playing their normal role. So at the moment, we're seeing huge amounts of volatility, and we've seen that again in the 10-year bond yields this afternoon. I would expect as things settle down and people see us intervening in the market, the bond yields right across the term structure will decline. We're prepared to buy government bonds right across the maturity structure while our focus is very much on the three-year yield. That's where the target is. We'll be buying bonds right across the maturity structure as there's a high degree of substitutability between bonds. So I think we have to give this time to settle down.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Michael Roden from The Australian. Please go ahead.
Hey, Phil. Thanks for taking questions. Just wondering, the meeting that took place yesterday, was that the entire RBA board, and was that in Sydney? And just could you explain why it took place yesterday, but we waited till today for an announcement? Was that just planning, or I'm just wondering about the timetable here between events.
It was the entire Reserve Bank board, and for the first history in our board, we had members coming in through video conference. We had four members in the room and five through video conference, and that worked remarkably well. The board meeting went till early afternoon, and we didn't make the announcement till today because we wanted to coordinate with the government, with APRA, with the AOFM. And as you'd appreciate, doing that coordination takes some time. So there's nothing untowards there. We just took time to make our decisions. Then we coordinated with other arms of policy, and we're making the announcement today.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Swati Panthi from Reuters. Please go ahead.
Hello, Governor. I've been looking at some commentary that's come out since your decision. While the move has been welcomed, some economists have said that the RBA will have to do more. So my question is, what is in the RBA's toolkit? If it has to do more, what else can the RBA do next?
Well, I'm not going to speculate what other measures we could take, other than to make the point that really nothing is off the table. We're in extraordinary times, and we're prepared to do whatever is necessary to make sure funding costs in Australia are low and there's the supply of credit is there for Australian businesses and households. We're working constructively with the government, the banks, and the AOFM to make sure that's the case. We feel like at the moment we've done enough. If it turns out not to be the case, there are other measures that we consider. I don't want to speculate on that today, but what I want to say to you is we will do whatever is necessary to make sure credit is available in Australia to businesses and households to get us through this difficult period.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Stephen Helmerich of Commonwealth Bank. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Governor. You mentioned that you would look at changing the three-year target or removing the three-year bond target before you decided to increase the cash rate. Just wondering what conditions would need to be in place to remove that three-year bond yield target, and then how long before you might change the cash rate?
Well, we've only introduced that target today, so I don't want to start speculating on what the conditions are when we might remove that target. But as I said, I think we would lift that target before we were going to increase the cash rate. To get to that point, obviously the virus will have to be contained and we'll have to be in this recovery that I talked about. And we'll want to be confident that we're heading back towards full employment and we're going to achieve the inflation target. I'm really looking forward to those days when we can say that. But I don't want to speculate on the precise conditions right yet. I don't think it's appropriate.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Sally Old of JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Governor. I actually had two questions, if that's okay. You talked about the purchases of government bonds to help the smooth functioning of the market, and so they were very similar to purchases you might make if you were intervening in FX markets to achieve a similar objective. Often with FX intervention, the central bank sterilises those purchases. So are you going to do the same with the purchases of government bonds that you make?
The answer to that is no. When we purchase these bonds, it will lead to an increase in settlement balances, and as a result of that, settlement balances in the system are going to increase. So we're not attempting to sterilise it. We've had settlement balances in the past around $2 billion. If the banks take full advantage of the term funding scheme, that will go up at least $90 billion. And I don't know exactly how many bonds we're going to have to buy in the bond market to achieve the target, but that will add to settlement balances as well. So I think we're going into a world now where settlement balances at the Reserve Bank will be well over $100 billion.
Thank you. And my other question was, you spoke in November about the effective lower bound in Australia, and you said that it was 25 basis points, largely because the interest on excess reserves at that stage was a difference between the cash rate and 25 basis points. Now that you've changed the bottom of the corridor, is it fair to say that the effective lower bound for us is now zero?
No, I haven't changed my view on the effective lower bound for the target cash rate. I don't think it's any accident. We're seeing, as I said in my prepared remarks, in the US, the UK, New Zealand and us, we're all at 25 basis points. The focus for us now is not reducing or changing the cash rate. I think we've done as much as we can there, but it's taking other measures that support low funding costs in Australia. That's one reason we're trying to lower the government bond curve, because that provides the benchmark interest rate for a lot of other interest rates. So we lower that, and we're providing the banks cheap funding directly from our balance sheet. So the focus is really very much on doing other things to get funding costs down and to promote the supply of credit. We've done all we can do on the cash rate, so we've got to look elsewhere now.
Thank you. Your next question comes from John Kehoe from the Australian Financial Review. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Governor. Australia has traditionally been known, I think, in the last decade or two as a bit of a safe haven. At the moment, I think the market's testing that view. We're seeing heavy selling of the Australian dollar and government bonds. The AAA credit rating may come under pressure. I'm not sure if that matters in today's day and age, given so few countries actually hold it. But what would you say to investors out there and people around the world who seem to be testing the RBA's resolve in these financial markets at the moment?
I don't think people are testing Australia and really questioning our fundamentals. What's happening, and we saw again this happened today, is there's widespread liquidation of financial positions right around the world. So we have a lot of people trying to close out positions and moving to cash. Some of those positions have historically been Australian dollars, and so people sell Australian dollars as they close out those positions, and the currency falls and bond yields have gone up. My interpretation isn't it's something Australian specific. There is something global going on here. Investors are very nervous about the future. They're unsure about how the health situation will develop. How quickly will we get on top of it? How's the medical system in many countries going to cope? Countries that have lockdowns, how long is that going to last? And I think until we can answer those questions, we're going to live with a lot of uncertainty and a lot of volatility. In Australia, as I've spoken about on other occasions, we have fantastic underlying fundamentals. We've got strong resource base, resilient and adaptable people, a great education system, rule of law, fantastic public institutions. Those things are still going to be there at the end of the year, hopefully when the virus has been contained. And I just encourage people to look through to those fundamentals and be prepared to look to the other side. As the central bank governor, I've been incredibly impressed by the coordination between the government, the regulatory agencies and the Reserve Bank. And I think it's showing Australians really as the best as a, not just the central bank governor, but as an individual Australian. I've been remarkably impressed at how everyone's been pulling together. It's one of our strengths. We cooperate effectively and we're going to get through this, and our fundamentals will still be there. So that's what I'd say to those investors. Look to the fundamentals. Don't panic. We will get through this. And you want to be there on the other side when things are improving, because they will.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Sue Lin Ong from RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Governor, I'm just interested in whether there was any discussion to target the 10-year yield rather than 3 years. You know, that could possibly better anchor risk-free rates and expectations as well, flatter curve, and maybe transmit through more fully to the broader economy.
Well, I've thought about that. We didn't discuss that at our board meeting. I think the three-year rate makes sense because the three-year rate is a benchmark rate for many bank bond raisings. It's also consistent with our view that the cash rate is likely to stay at its current level for some years. I don't think the cash rate's going to be at 0.25% for 10 years, but I think it's quite likely that it could be at this current level for 3 years. And the board shares that view, and given that view about the expected outlook for the cash rate, we thought targeting a three-year yield was consistent with our view on monetary policy, and we wanted to see the government yield curve move down to that level. Picking a target level for a 10-year yield would be much more difficult because we wouldn't be confident that interest rates were going to stay at a given level for 10 years, but I think it's quite reasonable that the cash rate, to think that the cash rate could be at this level for quite a few years, which would be consistent with the three-year horizon we've chosen. It's also consistent with the three-year funding package we have for the banking system. So
Thank you.
There's a strong coherence with 3 years and 25 basis points. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Michael Heath from Bloomberg News. Please go ahead.
Hi, Governor. You mentioned earlier the coordination with local agencies like APRA and other groups. I'm just wondering about the international coordination that's been going on behind the scenes. Have you been satisfied with the amount happening? I mean, has it been less or more than 2008? Would you have liked to have seen more?
No, I wouldn't have liked to have seen more. I can tell you I'm on late-night conference calls many nights, sometimes till 1 a.m., and so are my colleagues. So there's a tremendous amount of discussion going on, particularly with the authorities in the U.S. A major issue there is the dysfunction in the U.S. Treasury's market. which is ultimately the benchmark for many financial contracts around the world. So we're having extensive discussions about what's going on in that market and also whether there are other policy measures that we can take as a group. So I'm very happy with the coordination and the information sharing that's taking place.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Patrick Cummins of The Australian. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Governor. Given your understanding of the impact of the pandemic on the economy, I know that it's rapidly evolving, but you are expecting significant job losses. And looking at what is happening in other areas, how are you judging the risk of a disorderly fall in house prices? And given what the rates are now and your view that you've done all that you can do on the cash rate, what could the RBA do to, you know, address this if it were to occur?
Well, that's not right at the moment high on our priority list. The priority is making sure that people can keep their jobs and small businesses can stay alive. I think it's quite likely over the next few months there will not be many transactions in the housing market. The uncertainty that most people in the community fear or feel is likely to see them out of the housing market. So the housing prices will be what they'll be over the next few months. And if I'm right that we see a recovery, then kind of towards the end of the year, people should feel confident again to go back into the housing market. But at the moment, it's all about people keeping jobs and businesses keeping alive.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Carlos Cacho of UBS. Please go ahead.
Hello, Governor Lowe. It's actually Matt Johnson. We swapped login details. Anyhow, congratulations today on a bold and creative policy package. I'd like to ask a question about the parameters of the bond buying program. On Monday, people thought that you were going to do a broad-based, across-the-curve bond buying program to support market function. And, of course, I'm sure you saw that the curve's taken up to 200 basis points today on your announcement. And partly that's because people think that you've now pivoted away from that and you're only going to buy the short end of the curve. So can you confirm that you will be buying all the way out to 30 years and that you will be buying inflation-linked securities? Because actually, further out the curve and the linkers and semis is where the market's more broken than at the short end of the curve. And then there's a second point, if you have time to get to it. Are there any limits on how much you can buy or are willing to buy, either as a share of the market or as a share of the outstanding of any single line? I noticed you didn't put a limit on it today, which I think is very wise.
Let me take the second question first. There are no limits on how much we can buy or what we can buy. We'll do not what's necessary to achieve our objectives here. So there are no limits, and this is one reason that I haven't wanted to announce a target volume. Really, we're focused on the price. We want to achieve the yield target, and we'll do whatever is necessary to achieve that target. That may involve purchasing large volumes of government securities, or it may not. We'll do whatever is necessary there. We're prepared to buy government bonds right across the maturity spectrum. While our focus is very much on the three-year yield, we're prepared to buy 5- and 10-year government bonds because there is close substitutability between the different maturities. So we're prepared to buy right across the maturity spectrum. We're going to do our first purchases tomorrow. On days when we're purchasing government securities, we'll make an announcement at 11:15 about what we're going to buy and by how much. And those offers will be due into the Reserve Bank by around 3:30 in the afternoon. And we're prepared to buy right across the maturity spectrum, whatever is necessary to achieve the target. Probably one other point: the bond buying program is mainly about the target for the 3-year yields, but it's also about making sure the conditions in the market are stable and the liquidity conditions are reasonable. So, if we see evidence that the market is becoming dysfunctional, the liquidity is drying up in particular areas, just as might have happened in the foreign exchange market, we're prepared to enter the market to try and add some liquidity and stabilise conditions. And we have this price target for the 3-year yields. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Carrington Clark from the ABC. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Hello. Can I first ask, how vulnerable are Australian households given that household debt-to-income ratio is one of the highest in the world? And a second question, the government is obviously wanting to encourage banks to lend to small businesses through difficult times.
how are you going to ensure that lending standards don't fall given the uncertainty about the future income flows for those businesses?
Well, the vulnerability for households comes if they lose their jobs. So this is why we have such a focus on doing what we can to for businesses to keep employing people and keeping staff on. If someone with a high level of debt loses their job, then they're going to have difficulty. We're working with the banks to come up with arrangements so that the banks can help people through this period of temporary unemployment. Because after all, this should only be a temporary episode. You know, things will get better as people who lose jobs over the next few months. I'm hoping by the end of the year or early next year they'll be finding them again. So we've got to create this bridge to when things are improving, and the banks have a role to do that. Heard the Treasurer say just before I came in that it's in the bank's interest to support people through this period, because if they don't support people, the unemployment rate will be higher, there'll be more stress, as you suggested, and the economy will weaker and the bank's credit losses will be larger. So because this is a temporary shock, it will go away. We need to create this bridge to the better day, and the banks have an important role to do that. And if the banks do that, I fear their ultimate losses will be larger. So it's in their interests, it's in their customers' interests and the country's interest that they do that, especially because we've got this higher level of household debt.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from James Glynn of the Wall Street Journal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Phil. I just wondered, does your desire to ensure properly functioning markets extend to the Aussie dollar? The RBA intervened during the GFC quite successfully, or are you happy at this moment to just allow the shock absorber to do its job?
Well, the Australian dollar, as I've said on other occasions, has been the great shock absorber for the Australian economy, and I'm confident that it will continue to be act in that way. We are prepared to act in the market if liquidity conditions are such that the market it's not two-sided and prices and the exchange rate is just moving around for no fundamental reasons. We've seen very weak liquidity conditions so far, but we haven't judged them sufficiently poor that we wanted to enter the market. You recall a week or so ago there was a flash crash when the currency fell 3 or 4 cents very quickly and then rebounded. And today it's come down a reasonable amount as well. Liquidity's thin, but it hasn't been to the point where we needed to intervene, but we are prepared to if liquidity conditions deteriorate. It's very much the same approach we're bringing to the bond market. We want to see these markets operate normally. We want to see people to be able to buy and sell at the prices that kind of the intermediaries are quoting. And if that's not the case, we're prepared to take actions to in the country's interest for these markets to operate normally.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Shane Wright from The Age. Please go ahead.
Oh, g'day, Governor. Last year you talked about trying to get the unemployment rate down to 4.5%. I'm just wondering, when you talk about full employment, is that the mark we're looking for? And in your mind, what does a strong recovery look like?
I still think 4.5% is a reasonable estimate of full employment in Australia. I don't think we're going to see that in the next little while. The unemployment rate is going to rise over the next coming months. I can't imagine many firms taking on workers except for if they're in the health sector and some areas particularly affected by the virus. So we're not going to see much job hiring. And the reality is we'll see quite a few job losses. So I think we have to steel ourselves for a rise in the unemployment rate. My hope is that it's a fairly temporary event, that as the virus is contained, the economy recovers, and all those people who lose jobs temporarily will find them again. If we do a reasonable job of containing the virus, that could happen quite quickly. So even in China, with their extraordinary measures, it appears that they've contained the virus and many of their businesses are getting back to normal activity, and that's just a couple of months after the virus first appeared. So whether we can achieve such a quick turnaround, I'm not sure, but certainly by the end of the year, I would hope that anyone who's losing their job in the next little while will have that job back, and we'll see strong growth in economic activity. But I do think it's going to be quite some time before we get to full employment. And this is one reason why I think we're going to have lower interest rates for a long period of time. Inflation might pick up temporarily because of the exchange rate depreciation, but the increase in inflation will only be temporary unless wage growth and other costs in the economy start growing more quickly than they've been. So I think we're in a world of lower inflation for quite some time, and that means lower interest rates for quite some time.